This morning's part of this morning's message comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, page 1315, you're welcome to join me there as I read a few verses there. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 12. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." God, would you add blessing to this, the reading and the preaching of your word. Amen. This morning, we're doing something a little bit different. Last week, I was driving my son somewhere, which is very common when you have kids that don't drive. You're their taxi, right? You're always their taxi. You're driving them somewhere. And, you know, it gets monotonous, and so you listen to stuff on the radio. Now, this particular time, I was listening to PBS. I was listening to a classical music channel. I'm not really a classical guy. I listen to all kinds of music, okay? Don't get your opinion about me. But this night I had classical music on. And there was a choral piece. That's a singing piece for those of you who are jocks like me and don't know what choral is, typically. A choral piece that was written by Martin Luther. That's one of our reformers that we owe our tradition and a lot of our heritage to as theology and so forth. He wrote it in 1523, and it appeared in the first Lutheran hymnal. The song is based on Psalm 130, and it's called, "From the depth of woe I call to thee, from the depth of woe I call to me." Now, having studied a little bit about Martin Luther in graduate school, this whole experience, I'm driving in my car, and I'm listening to this choir sing this song from 130. It was written right almost 500 years ago by Martin Luther. It like took me back in time. You know? It took me back in time that I knew what the anguish was of his soul and how he wanted to please God and be right with God. It wasn't until he experienced the doctrines of grace that we find in Romans and Galatians that he could sing this with any amount of joy. It took me back in time. Not as if I was there, right, when he wrote it, but I had that experience. I want to go back in time this morning, okay, in our few minutes together. I want to go back in time to September 15th of 2019. Ooh, that's not long ago, Jamie. That's not very long ago. That's when we started the 50 Days of Vitality. You're so excited. This is the experience we've had all fall. You're so excited. No, September 15th, we started the 50 Days of Vitality 2019. And we looked at many greats. We looked at a great every Sunday. Can you remember the first great we looked at? If you were here, great. Sorry, that's a pun. If you weren't, no problem. We'll help you get up to speed. Remember the first great? Little help here. This is a man doing what? Praying. More so praying. I'm telling him this. You're confessing. Yes, we started with the great confession in Nehemiah chapter 1. That God used a man who confessed the sins, not only his sins, but the sins of his people, to start this great revitalization, if you will, in Israel. And he confessed the sins of himself and Israel. And God really used that. And so all fall long, we have actually been trying to cultivate this sense of where have we fallen short? God, what do we need to confess as a people in order to see life, our life in ourselves, greater life in ourselves, greater life in our church, in our community? And we've actually printed confessions of in our order of worship to kind of cultivate that. This fall, have you confessed anything? Have you been prompted to confess anything privately? Or maybe corporately in a small group? Have you been prompted to be honest? I heard a confession from someone, I mentioned this before, that I love my church, but I think we've forgotten the Great Commission. That sounds like a confession. Vitality starts by confessing. We've seen that in the life of Nehemiah and Israel, and that's our prayer that would continue as well. How about this one? That was the first great. Here was the second great. Does that bring back any memories? No. Nothing? Okay. That's a toothbrush, right? With toothpaste on it. How often are you supposed to brush your teeth? Well, probably a couple times a day. It's a discipline, isn't it? And so we talked about the disciplines of a Great Commission church. Not just the confessions of a Great Commission church, the Great Confession, but the great disciplines of a Great Commission church. The basic Bible that when we talk about the Bible, read the Bible, we always want to find Jesus. We want to go back and make sure when we're teaching and talking to others about the Bible that we're staying on point with the Bible. Preemptive prayer. We're not only just praying for reactionary ways about what's going on in our lives and the struggle, but we're praying ahead. God, would you make us disciple makers? Would you go ahead of us and help us to see who we are to be serving and reaching? Would you work in front of us? Preemptive prayer. There's disciplines. Does it bring back any memories? Disciplines of Great Commission Church. How about this one? So, have you been working on those? Are we working on those? One of them was a multiplication that we focus on the lost. There's all these disciplines. How about this one? The third great. Those are keys. Yeah, those are keys, right? Do you remember the third discipline? No? Okay, good. Okay, we'll review the great promise from Matthew chapter 16. Jesus makes this promise that I will build my church. He makes this promise. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Remember that promise? And so a Great Commission church, despite its circumstances, despite the challenges that it's facing, it takes Jesus' words at face value. And it believes that Jesus will build his church in our midst, in our community. But, you remember? He says to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And we had said that the keys is the gospel. And that being a believer, being a disciple of Jesus, we have what? We have the keys. We have the gospel. And so will we use it? Will we share it? A Great Commission church takes seriously this promise that they're actually involved in building the church and using the keys of the gospel. Do you have the keys? You do if you have the gospel. Will you use it to open and to build his kingdom? That was the third great. How about the fourth great? Anyone remember what the fourth great was? Well, so if you remember, my pellet gun. I wasn't very good at deterring squirrels from eating the bird food because I like to watch the birds. And if you remember, my father-in-law zeroed in my scope, and I am deadly now. I am deadly. I killed two yesterday from longer range than I ever had before. Yeah, that's awful, isn't it? I know that, but Jesus zeroes in our scope of what it means to love God. What does he say in Matthew 22? What is his definition? If you love God, you will what? love your neighbor. He recalibrates. If we say we're a Christian, if we say we love God, we ought to be loving our neighbor. And we see Jesus doing that. He comes from heaven to earth to love us. He loves us, right? He gives us life for us as his neighbor, his cosmic neighbor, to laying down his life for us. And so it is, if we love God, we ought to have a calibration happen. That our hearts, if we say we love God, we ought to be able to look somewhere and see that if we do love God, and that's where we look is our loving our neighbor. And so we're about that as a church, asking who is our neighbor in a corporate way. And we've discerned that the Elmhurst Elementary School is a community we ought to be going to and loving and serving our neighbors, if you will. And that happens at a personal level too, at work and in your neighborhood. One day I said, I would hope that some folks in our neighborhood and your neighborhood would go, I never knew a church could love us so much. And you would say what? I never knew that I could love the Lord so much, because all you ever thought you were doing was loving the Lord. And actually what you were doing was loving your neighbor. The fourth great commandment. The fifth great. What was the fifth great? The fifth great to becoming a great commissioned church. These are a bunch of soldiers. They're getting commissioned. They're standing before, you know, their commanders and taking an oath about ready to be commissioned. If you remember, I said, wouldn't it have been awful to be a on the verge of being commissioned officer and your senior officer, because, you know what, we decided not to do this today. Go on back home. All the training, all the studies you did, everything. We're not just doing it. Just go back to civilian life. Wouldn't that be so disappointing? Jesus doesn't do that, though, with us and the disciples, does he? He doesn't accomplish his ministry and do his thing, live the life that we should live, die the death, and then say, oh, disciples, just go on home. Just go back to being a fisherman. No. He takes his authority that he's been given now, and he commissions his disciples, go and do likewise. Go now and make disciples yourselves. And so it is, we stand in that line. We're not ones that waiting for a good movie or a good task to be done. Jesus doesn't send us home to just continue to live life however we want. We have been commissioned, having been made a disciple by Jesus' work. We are now to make disciples as well. And so do we have a plan? This is what you should be working on as a church. Do we have a plan for making disciples is very important in this regard. It doesn't mean dressing up a cookie that's already made. Do you remember me talking about that? You go to Costco and you bring a dessert to an engagement and you say, oh, I made these cookies. And what you've done, you take a little sprinkles and you put a little sprinkle. No, church is not about dressing up people that are already Christians. It's about loving our neighbor and making disciples that are currently not disciples. The great, great commission. Do we have a plan, a strategy? Hopefully we'll be working on that. The sixth great. Now, so this is a little throw you. You remember me talking about doing slow motion football on the beaches of Daytona during spring break and sharing my faith and putting people on my shoulders and doing the Statue of Liberty tree, grabbing a crowd. Do you remember that story? This is the closest I could find. I wouldn't dare to put myself in a photograph up here, dressed up funny anyway. But this is a picture of some college students that are actually talking to other college students on a spring break beach about Jesus. What is the sixth great? It's the great witness. It's the great witness that Jesus turns to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, and they so much want Jesus to bring in the kingdom of God. They ask, Jesus, when is the kingdom going to come? They want they have their agenda for Jesus. They want to sit at his right hand and his left. They want Rome to be overthrown, and they want life to return to the way they want it. And Jesus just pulls their life out from underneath them and says, no, I'm no longer... Is life about you and your agenda? It's about me and my agenda. Here's my agenda. Now go. Witness to my resurrection. Be my witnesses wherever you go. And so we were asked and challenged to say, where? Is there a focus? Is there a focus? And so we were challenged and encouraged that as a church, that as a people, that you have a focus. Where are you building relationships? Where are you serving in order to build relationships to share your hope with those that don't know Jesus? And we need the Holy Spirit's power to do that as well. The sixth commandment, the sixth great witness. And then finally, and seventh, was the Mission Impossible. You remember us talking about the Mission Impossible series, the great kind of the fun storylines of these clandestine operations, and how the mission always seems impossible, but they end up still accomplishing the mission. Jesus comes out in Luke chapter 19 and tells us explicitly what his impossible mission is. What is it? He says it. I came to seek and to save the lost. He just unequivocally, he states his mission. And you remember how the stories in the TV series and the movie series start? Ethan Hunt would listen to the mission, you know, if you accept this mission, right? We will disavow you. And this storyline, this message will just self-destruct in 5 minutes, right? Well, guess what? Jesus lays it in front of us. What we wrestled with was this, is that if we say we're a follower of Jesus, and Jesus is on a mission, then what? We got to be on that same mission, too. If we say we're a follower of Jesus, and Jesus is going that way, we got to be going that way, too. In some sense, his mission has to be ours, to seek and to save the lost. Our focus of our mission, we have to make it personal, right? There's personal ways to build relationships, to serve in order to accomplish this. And so it would be, we went through these seven greats this fall. And some of you went through the devotional, right? To try to take it in. It's not just enough to hear about it on 30 minutes on Sunday, Lord. I need to read about this. I need to grow in this. And so for a moment, just think about how great these are. Think about your own life and what you're up against, whether it might be health challenges, job challenges, relationship challenges. Think about your church and its location and its history. Think about this. A first great, one that would, that your heart is so ready to confess where it's fallen short. That's a big task, is it not? We're prone to deny things. We're prone to make excuses, right? That great is very challenging, to be ready to confess where we fall short, to be ready to practice disciplines. I mean, we'd rather do our own thing than be disciplined about our corporate life and our personal life. Well, believing that God would build this church, oh Lord, I don't see it. How will it happen? How will it happen here? How can I trust you for? That's a great, great challenge. Love my neighbor. I don't know my neighbor's names. Wow, this great is so great. What am I going to do about this greatness? The greatness of this task. I got so far to go. How will we ever get there? One, the great of responding to making disciples. Lord, I like to be my own authority. I don't like your authority. You call me to go and make disciples. Wow, the challenge of that, responding to his authority and not resisting my own authority. The selfish agenda of being called to be a witness. And I have an agenda for Jesus. He is to make my life work well. But he has an agenda for me that I lay down mine in order to seek that one that's lost. We have a mission. It feels like an impossible mission, does it not? I mean, really, it feels a little impossible. So this is where it kind of leaves us. I want to leave you with this. We've been singing and praying this morning about what? A great God. I mean, if we have all these greats that need to be accomplished in order to become a great commission church, we're going to need some heavy hitters involved in this game. If you looked at your heart lately, if you looked at our church lately, if you looked at your community, we need a heavy hitter, and that's the great God. And we had Kyle read Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. Unbelievable what happened. in the life of the early church, the Great Commission Church. Did you hear what Kyle read? That as they were giving themselves to God's Word, as they were giving themselves, they're practicing these disciplines of prayer, of assembling, of fellowship, of learning, of studying, of serving. They were practicing serving their community and selling their goods and loving those around them. Did you hear what happened? Daily, numbers were added to their own people. Numbers. This means that God, the great God, built His church among them. People were being added to them. That's the great God. We're not in this alone. We have a great God who meets us when we apply ourselves to these great, great things. And then I read to you from Romans, from Revelations chapter 9. And that text has this incredible passage, right? Who is before the throne? Who is before the throne worshiping? It's people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. What has happened between the time of the early church and this picture we get of people of all ages? What has happened? The lost have been found. People have made disciples. A great God has come, and He's sought out those who do not know Him and have yet to embrace Him, from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. If you look around this room, a lot of us are pretty similar. We speak the same language. We look a little similar. And yet, does our community look that way? No. We have a great God who can and will meet us, who can and will accomplish this great commission among us if we give ourselves to Him. A great, great God. Will you trust Him this fall? Will you trust Him this winter? Will you trust Him this spring? Will you trust Him during this process? Will you give yourself to becoming a Great Commission church as long as we're dependent upon the great, great God of Scripture? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the Great Commission, the great commandment, the great mission, the great witness, the great commission, all these things, Lord, they're abundantly clear in Scripture, and yet we abundantly need You to meet us. We need You, the great God, to visit us, the great God to fill us, the great God to send us, the great God to empower us, the great God to train us, to order our affections, to great God to order our worship, to order our ministries, that we, in fact, might become more and more a Great Commission church. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.